We contacted the investigator who had filmed many sightings, Senior Santiago Daria Garza. Santiago and his friend, television host Diana Palacharpa, have been involved in the investigation of suspected spacecraft and ET presence since the 1970s and made the arrangements. We drove to the edge of the city and up into the mountains. There were four of us, plus the driver and his wife. We engaged the S5 protocol, and it wasn't long before a disc-shaped craft appeared. This event was a materialized ship that was actually sitting on the jagged peak above us. No person could walk there. After a few minutes, an electric, cobalt blue light from the craft flowed down the mountain. This liquid light moved like tendrils and wrapped around all our feet. While all this was happening, we were signaling to the AT craft, communicating with the occupants. The Mexican driver was watching from below. He was so overwhelmed by what he was seeing that he ran screaming back to the truck, rolled up the windows, locked the doors, and wanted to leave. Fortunately for us, his wife talked him into staying. The Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence. In 1990, I founded the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, CSETI. Our goal was to create a new paradigm for establishing peaceful contact between humans and extraterrestrials. Governmental efforts to establish peaceful contact began and ended in 1954 when President Eisenhower actually met with extraterrestrial beings near Edwards Air Force Base, Muroc. I have a document sent to me by a European Ministry of Defense that quotes a first-hand witness who confirms this meeting took place. Any further communications were most likely hijacked by the military-industrial complex, who did not want to disclose anything about UFOs and ETs to the public. Like a bull in a china shop, they took over Majestic 12, isolating future presidents and Congress from technologies that should have led to major advances across the globe. What the military-industrial complex could not do is stop civilians from initiating their own contact with the extraterrestrials. The ultimate disclosure is millions of people making open, peaceful contact and documenting it on social media. By 1991, we had developed the S5 initiative, a set of protocols that invites extraterrestrials to interact with us openly and within the framework of universal peace. Since then, thousands of people have learned, initiated, and experienced direct contact with extraterrestrials in small groups around the world, serving the role as civilian ambassadors in real-time peaceful and open communication. Civilians establishing contact. Not the UN, not the State Department of the United States or the foreign ministries of European or any other nations on Earth. And most definitely not the secret government, a cabal dominated by the military-industrial complex that have been profiting off the secrecy since 1947. How did an unfunded civilian coalition manage to establish lines of communication between multiple extraterrestrial species where the Oval Office could not? It begins with consciousness. In order to succeed in establishing peaceful interspecies communication, it was first necessary to ask and answer several key questions. How does one travel through vast interstellar distances and get someplace within a biological life form's natural lifetime? How does one communicate to one's home world across such vast distances in real time? If an extraterrestrial life form is from a star system 1,000 light years away, a light year defined as the distance a beam of light travels in a year while moving at a speed of 186,000 miles per second, it would take 1,000 years to arrive at Earth and another 1,000 years to get home again. That's 2,000 years to make a round-trip journey. The approximate time which has elapsed since the birth of Christ. And 1,000 light-years distance is relatively nearby in our galactic neighborhood. The Milky Way, which is estimated to be 100,000 light-years across. Now let's consider communications. Using radio, microwave, TV or any other electromagnetic signal currently en vogue now on the Earth, it would take this ET 1,000 years, at the speed of light, which is how fast M signals like radio waves travel, to communicate back home once he arrived here, and another 1,000 years for the AT's home planet to answer back. Again, 2,000 years. Obviously, any star-faring civilization must have developed technologies which operate outside of the current 20th century Earth gadgets in use today. Therefore, it's safe to assume UFOs of extraterrestrial origin simply are not using our current technologies. And if we tried to detect and understand them purely from within the tidy box of current scientific knowledge, we are going to be sorely disappointed. Indeed, we will miss 99.9% of the data, and the discovery will be hidden by the fog in our own limited vision. There are two important events that occurred during my childhood which led me to understand how advanced civilizations travel transdimensionally across our galaxy and communicate. The first event, which I briefly recounted in the introduction, was my initial UFO sighting, which occurred as a 9-year-old boy in Charlotte, North Carolina. During the weeks that followed the event, I experienced a series of lucid dreams and night encounters with beings who were definitely not from Earth. Seeking more knowledge, I began studying Sanskrit and reading the Vedas, the ancient sacred literature of India. I learned about meditation and the concept of transcendence, which fit quite comfortably into my psyche. When I could find free time, I'd take long bike trips out to the countryside. I'd lie in a field and practice meditation. At times, I'd find my consciousness leaving my body to observe other parts of Charlotte, or to visit other areas of the world. During several out-of-body experiences, I even ventured into space. This first event and its accompanying education taught me how to look beyond the self-imposed limits of our physical third dimension and use the limitless consciousness within us. The second event gave me a peek at what awaits us on the other side. When I was 17, I suffered a serious wound to my left thigh. A horrible infection developed in my leg and spread throughout my body. I became septic, which means my bloodstream was infected, and I broke out in a very high fever. I was spiraling toward death, not fully understanding the severity of my condition. It brought me to a near-death experience, and I found myself suddenly released from my body. My consciousness was carried out into the depths of space, a place where I already felt at home, and I experienced what I now understand to be cosmic consciousness, where my individuality became faint as it merged with the unbounded pure infinite mind. There was no duality. This lasted for what seems to be an eternity. There is no sense of time in this state of being. I could see all of creation, the vastness of the cosmos, and it was beautiful beyond words. From our limited third dimensional perspective, I had died, and yet there was nothing frightening about it. Only infinite awareness, joy, and the perception of an endless perfect creation. Eventually, two brilliant scintillating lights approached out of the stars. They appeared as brilliant points of light, pure, conscious energy. As they came near, I entered a state of oneness with them. It was incredibly beautiful. Communication existed, only non-verbally. Imagine instead of saying the word, apple, the actual image of the apple is received. And within that conscious image is the pure idea form of the apple itself. Its essence. That is how information was being transmitted to me, and I am convinced it is how ET civilizations communicate instantaneously over great distances. But it is also facilitated with very advanced electronics. This near-death experience not only altered my life, it prepared me for the challenges still to come. See part 3, The Road to Disclosure. I learned that death is not to be feared, that in fact, there is no death. Only an interdimensional transformation from one state into another, a state that is accessible to our extraterrestrial visitors and to each of us. The beings currently visiting Earth from other planets, while no doubt different from humans physically and in more profound ways, are nevertheless conscious intelligent beings. All sentient beings in the universe are bound by a conscious intelligence. The highest common denominator on which a sustainable relationship between diverse life forms can be based. As humans, we are conscious and awake, Other higher life forms are conscious and awake. We may share very little else in common, but this universal constant is shared by all intelligent, conscious beings, whether human or extraterrestrial. Consciousness, or universal conscious intelligence, then is the first cornerstone of the foundation of interplanetary unity. One universe. One people. As there is one being which manifests one creation, so there is one being which is the source of all conscious beings, whether on Earth or elsewhere. The great universal intelligence has sent a ray of this light of consciousness throughout all conscious beings, and we are united to this infinite awareness and to one another through its subtle and all-pervading effect. It is for these reasons that I state that the reality of man and the reality of other extraterrestrial peoples is one. Viewed with the eye of differences, we are diverse and unrelated, but viewed with the eye of oneness, we are more alike than dissimilar, more kindred than alien. And so it is that we must look to our inner reality to find, not only our oneness with our fellow humans, but our oneness with other intelligent life in the universe as well. While ephemeral differences may confound us, our essential oneness in consciousness will never fail us. For there is one universe inhabited by one people, and we are they. Interstellar travel, shifting outside the box. Many people have asked me how many times I have seen a UFO. I tell them I have never seen a UFO, because there is no such thing as a UFO. The term was concocted by those who knew exactly what the vehicles were and is a clever attempt at mind conditioning. There are two categories of vehicles. The first is an ETV or extraterrestrial vehicle, the term used at the National Security Agency, NSA. The second is an ARV or alien reproduction vehicle, which are man-made, advanced, anti-gravity craft that look like a UFO. Neither ETV nor ARV actually fly in any normal aerodynamic sense. They are using field propulsion systems developed as far back as the 1920s by T. Townsend Brown and, post-1947, reverse-engineered from downed ETVs. They employ what is known as the Biefeld-Brown effect, which involves high voltage, electromagnetic, and magnetic flux phenomena, which allows an object to become weightless, levitate, and move in a virtually mass-free manner. Advanced physicists in classified projects have understood this for at least 60 years and maybe longer. So I tell people we have never seen a UFO. We have, however, had thousands of sightings and interactions with extraterrestrial vehicles and their occupants. I have also had encounters with a few ARVs. We have seen both, and it is important to be able to distinguish between the two. If you ever see a craft and wonder what it is, ETVs are sleek, seamless, smooth craft with the ability to phase shift instantly. They are often luminous and appear as one smooth solid surface. A surface that does not reflect light. ARVs, by contrast, do not phase shift, do reflect light normally, and do have visible nuts and bolts construction with visible seams. How are ET craft and personnel able to traverse the vastness of interstellar space and time? Accessing the zero-point field, parenthesis, see secret file, zero-point energy, and employing high voltage, electromagnetic, and the magnetic flux phenomena mentioned above allows an object to become weightless, levitate, and move in a virtually mass-free manner and, as it turns out, the rigidity of that vastness of space becomes quite flexible and can be largely bypassed once you frequency shift to the other side of the light barrier. In one quantum movement, the ET craft and its occupants phase shift to a finer aspect of the cosmology outlined above, and exist then in an aspect or dimension which is more non-local than the material universe known to modern science. That is, the observed phenomenon of these objects which often seem to disappear and then reappear instantly at a considerable distance is due to the fact that they can phase shift in and out of the fixed time, space material aspect to one which is inherently more non-local. From what I have observed and have been told, this is done through a complex interaction between powerful rotating electromagnetic fields and the gravitational field and mass inertia, which literally phase shifts the craft in one quantum leap. When the craft is on this, parenthesis, our, side of the crossing point of light, it is seen like any other material manufactured object, but it can maneuver in ways which appear to negate mass, inertia, and gravity. Our witnesses attest to UFOs racing across the sky at speeds in excess of 4,000 miles an hour, only to stop on a dime and take a 90-degree turn. A maneuver, if completed under normal conditions, would crush every occupant under the tremendous G-forces. Once the craft phase shifts onto the other side of the crossing point of light, matter, it seems to disappear. But it has not. While in that form or energy spectrum, or dimension, the craft can hover or move within the material universe at many, many multiples of the speed of light. The velocity is non-relativistic, at least as measured on this side of the light barrier. However, 1,000 light-years will not be traversed instantly because there is an element of drag as it moves in this aspect through the material cosmos. Put another way, there is a component of the object which adheres to the underbelly of the material cosmos, and there is a coefficient of cosmic drag which prevents the trip from being instantaneous across vast interstellar distances. Operating in a sort of junction between aspects, or dimensions, the ET craft can phase between either. Actually, it can also be partially in both. For instance, the ETV can be hovering outside the Harvard Institute yet remain undetected unless it pops into the material aspect fully and is then seen, provided the people in the building bother to look outside. Of course, that doesn't necessarily mean they'll report it. Interstellar communication, thinking outside the box. To understand interstellar communication, I present factors in the equation of the universal component of mind. As I have come to understand the cosmos, the basis of all existence. Every atom, every star, every molecule and every person. Is a non-local essence which is present at every point in time and space, and yet is bound by no point in space or time or matter. This essence is awake, intelligent and knowing. It is conscious. It is mind. It is the awareness of awakeness, the undifferentiated pure intelligence and mind of the universe. It is present in every blade of grass, and pervades the vacuum of space and the farthest reaches of the universe. And yet it cannot be divided or localized to one point in space or time or matter. The structure of existence is that this non-local, conscious and intelligent component of existence is unchangeable and is unaffected by relativity or changes in space, time, matter and so forth. The nature of mind is that it is indivisible and present at every point in time and space. But bound or limited by no aspect of space or time. This means that distant points in space and time can be accessed through this faculty. Further, the individual person, through the faculties described above and by the very nature of the unitive state of mind which is essential to this basic awareness, can experience precognition, inspiration, intuition, remote viewing and the like. This is easy to accept once the basic cosmology is appreciated. Consciousness is never divided, it is present everywhere, is never limited by space or time, and yet paradoxically, is present at every point in space and time. In every atom and throughout every galaxy. Thus, the interface between consciousness and matter is essential, not contrived or difficult. Actuating events, then, becomes a matter of working in this nexus. Now let us get back to the main problem, interstellar communication over vast distances of space. ET electronic communications systems are ones which interface with mind, thought and computerized telemetry. For decades, people have reported having what has been dismissed as telepathic experiences with UFOs. As soon as such accounts are admitted to, the scientific community howls and tosses out the entire case. Alas, they have tossed out the baby with the bathwater. As Dr. John, at Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research Lab. Bear, and Dr. Dossi and others have demonstrated, mind and thought can interface with and affect material. Even technological dot systems, parenthesis, see random number generator research. Pear Lab. What is obvious from 52 years of experience with this phenomenon is that ET communication protocols are not using AT&T microwave systems to communicate in real time across interstellar distances. They are using systems which are advanced enough to interact directly with thought and consciousness, and by so doing, access non-local spectra of energy, thus bypassing linear time and space. Do not confuse these systems with current human experiments with brainwave activity and links to computers. Those are still using electromagnetic energy which only travels at the speed of light. The AT systems, referred to here, operate on the other side of the crossing point of light and, while technologically facilitated, interface with thought and mind directly. Through such a system, information can be instantly transmitted through millions of light years of space, since the non-local aspect of mind, thought and energy are being utilized. The communication systems do not have real-time delays due to the coefficient of cosmic drag mentioned above. Essentially, there are spectra of energy which are sub-electromagnetic and sub-material, but which are nevertheless very real and very physical. The use of the term metaphysical in relation to this area is very incorrect and time-restricted. A hologram or a flashlight would be metaphysical or supernatural to a human 500 years ago. This is a key point. The energy and spectra of energy referred to here are naturally occurring aspects of the creation. They are all around us and within us. It is not other. It is not supernatural. It is not metaphysical. It has simply not been studied and understood adequately by modern science. But it has been by advanced ET civilizations which are interstellar competent. There are numerous accounts, dating back decades, of very ordinary humans seeing one of these ET craft and directly interacting with it by thought alone. That is, the person may think, "Oh, I wish it would move to the right and the craft will move to the right," or as it starts to leave he may think, "I wish it would turn around and come back," whereupon it immediately stops, turns and comes over. A few such accounts may be dismissed as coincidence. But there are so many of them that, empirically, one must reach the assessment that these objects have telemetry capabilities which can interface with directed thought. This class of ET technology may be viewed generally as consciousness-assisted technologies, CAT, and technology-assisted consciousness, TAC. CAT is when the individual, or group, consciousness and thought assists or interfaces with a receptive device. TAC is when a device augments, projects or assists an individual or group's consciousness or thought. For example, we know a former Bell Labs, Lucent Technologies scientist who, more than 30 years ago, while working on a covert research project, was given an ET communication device by a general. This scientist was asked to study and reverse engineer the device. That is, take it apart and figure out how it worked. Here is his story. Upon receiving the device, which was a round object about the size of a grapefruit, dark and textured on the surface, it began to speak to him directly in his awareness with thought. He was startled by this, especially when the device mentally told him that the people who had asked him to study the object had malice in their hearts and that the scientist should destroy the device. After struggling with what to do about this conundrum, the scientist accidentally overheated the device in an experiment and it was destroyed, at least materially. But after it was destroyed, he heard one last thought which said, "Thank you. I know that this sounds very strange. But the strangest things are true." And this account is one of those very strange but true accounts. You may wish to run at light speed away from such information. And go back to our good old fashioned radio signals. But the future is here, and if we do not meet it wisely, others, like the general who originally provided the device, will hijack the future to places we do not want to go. The S5 initiative. Our human ET communication initiative is done with the clear intent to establish peaceful contact and relations with these advanced life forms. The encounter utilizes numerous protocols, some obvious and practical, some experimental. The Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence has spent literally thousands of hours with thousands of people out under the stars engaging in interactions which can only be described as extraordinary. And while we have some interesting pictures and videotapes of craft and ET beings appearing and disappearing from view, what has been really amazing could not have been videotaped or photographed. Indeed, the best of it perhaps could not have been measured at all. This is because the really good stuff, if you will, has occurred just barely in what may be termed conventional reality. Much has happened on both sides of the crossing point of light. But the most interesting stuff has been on the other side. One of the controversial protocols involves group access to non-local consciousness followed by remotely viewing, through consciousness, ET craft or persons which may be passing by at a great distance or which may be nearby and phase shifted beyond the visible spectrum of human sight. Remote viewing. Remote viewing is a controlled and trainable mental process that allows a perceiver or viewer to describe or give details about a target that is inaccessible to normal senses due to distance, time, or shielding. For example, a viewer might be asked to describe a location on the other side of the world, which he or she has never visited. While there is a theory as to why it works on the level of physics, it is not widely accepted. Ironically, remote viewing procedures were originally developed in laboratories funded by the United States military and intelligence services and used for espionage purposes. Once an ET craft or life form is locked on and remote viewed, the process is reversed and the ET is directed to the XETI research site via visual thought component vectoring. That is, the ET object, person is mentally map-quested our coordinates and location and invited to approach. As ridiculous as this may seem to some, it frequently results in an ET object literally popping in overhead. While using lights, lasers and radio signals to vector and confirm contact, the core of the protocol does involve CAT, and often in response, from the ETs, TAC. Types of interactions. We have had the following general types of experiences which demonstrate the ET technologies referred to earlier. Sudden appearance of large structured craft, disks, triangles, etc., which pop in and then vanish in seconds and even a fraction of a second, but which are witnessed by multiple people. Longer term appearance of objects, up to many minutes, which then disappear, phase shift out of visible, material perception. Intelligent probes consisting of ball-shaped objects of various colors, which come over and may even join the group. They may be intelligently controlled, but are, themselves, conscious and intelligent. Advance AI. Artificial intelligence. Usually these are translucent to slightly opaque red, blue, green or golden spheres ranging in size from 6 inches to 1 to 2 feet. They interact consciously with the individual or group and then vanish. They are most likely demonstrations of TAC where the consciousness and thought, even personality, of an ET on board a craft is technologically assisted and projected in a controlled fashion into the group. Anomalous beeping or high-pitched tones which have an omnidirectional component, as if heard from all directions at once. Often these occur after projecting over radio waves the XETI beeping tones which are routinely transmitted from the site. Anomalous electromagnetic effects, M, on equipment, cars etc. Often, equipment will fail with the close approach of an ET craft, as happened in Mexico in 1993 when an 800-foot, whisper-silent triangle approached the group, and all camera and other electronic equipment failed. Other manifestations include setting off radar detectors, laser detectors, car electronics dimming down or browning out, electrostatic energy on people's skin or clothing. On multiple occasions, my compass has rotated counterclockwise around the dial as a counterclockwise rotating craft has approached. The compass changed magnetic north to almost due south, off 160 degrees, and remained that way for nearly 3 months. Fast walker interactions. Frequently the group will experience multiple objects which initially appear to be satellites. But which interact with directed thoughts or signals. For example, a high-flying object will, as soon as a thought command is given, stop or change directions abruptly. Satellites do not back up, make right-hand turns or descend suddenly and get brighter while interacting with people on the ground. These types of events have been witnessed by hundreds of people during multiple XETI research events. Material interface phenomena. These phenomena can occur when ET objects are just on the other side of the crossing point of light and matter. And begin to bleed through into our dimension.